All right, everyone. As you can tell by the sound, we are in the air again. I hope that you all have really enjoyed the meal. I'm glad you slowed down, too, for two reasons. For one, I didn't want y'all to be so stuffed that you don't have room to hold any food when you get home this evening and it's time for dinner. And secondly, I just didn't want you to get sick eating too fast. Because you know what happens. When we eat too fast, our brain doesn't keep up and we don't give it time to realize we've had enough and we just keep on eating. So I'm glad you slowed down so you can savor the food, savor the experience. That's why we have Granny cooking the way she does. All right, now, let me tell you what we're doing now. You heard us take off. We are heading to China. When is the last time you saw a good movie in China? Yeah, good movie in China. Well, I'm going to tell you, they are not only trying to get folks from other countries to come over and see some good movies. They're wanting folks from other countries to come over and produce, film some good movies. And I mean, they are working at it big time. If you don't believe me, check this out. There's a Chinese firm, Dalian Wanda, that has invested $7.9 billion into the Qingdao movie metropolis, which it hopes will attract foreign producers to the country. Now, check this out. And this is big. We're talking almost $8 billion invested into a movie metropolis. So don't think movie theater. I got to be honest with you now. When I first learned about this, I was truly thinking of a theater. And I'm thinking maybe this is a huge theater, maybe seating 2, 3, 4, 5 times the number of people that some of the largest theaters we're familiar with would seat. Nope. Movie metropolis. It's a complex that spans more than 400 acres and is set to include state-of-the-art production facilities. The chairman, Wang Jianlin, said it would definitely turn Qingdao into a global hub for film. They'll boost the Chinese movie industry development, and that's what they're looking to do, produce much, much more and boost that industry. A lot of folks all around the world who are watching movies. And China's saying, hey, we want to get in on this. The site, remember now, this is a movie metropolis. And this metropolis also features a shopping mall, restaurants, and a cinema that is reportedly the biggest in Asia. They opened this particular company, the Qingdao Movie Metropolis, opened its first studios in 2016 and has already hosted some Hollywood productions, including The Great Wall, which starred Matt Damon. That was the first major Hollywood film that was aimed at a global audience to be set and filmed and produced in China. The completion of the studios marks a further step in Wanda's efforts to woo Hollywood directors to work in the country. In 2016, this firm said it would give foreign movie and TV firms huge discounts to film at the Qingdao Studios. It also bought Legendary Entertainment, the U.S. studio behind blockbusters such as Jurassic World, the Batman Dark Knight trilogy, and Godzilla. All right, we are heading back to the United States of America now. I have something else I'd like for you to look into. This involves some research, you could say. And it took place at Yale University. And it has to do with brains. Yes, research and brains, but not just any brains. We're talking pig brains. Researchers at Yale University have actually restored circulation to the brains of decapitated pigs. That's right. Their heads had been cut off. And these researchers were able to restore circulation to those brains and kept the organs alive for several hours. Their goal is to develop a way of studying intact human brains in the lab for medical research. And although there's no evidence that the animals were aware, there is concern that some degree of consciousness might have remained. Whew, sounds kind of scary. Details of the study were presented at a brain science ethics meeting that was held at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda in Maryland, March 28th. The work by Professor Sestan of Yale University was also discussed as part of an NIH investigation of ethical issues arising from neuroscience research in the U.S. Professor Sestan said that he and his team experimented on more than 100 pig brains and discovered that they could restore the brains of those pigs' circulation using a system of pumps and heaters and bags of artificial blood. As a result, the researchers were reportedly able to keep the cells in the brain alive and capable of normal activity for as long as 36 hours. Wow. Not only alive, but capable of normal activity, heads detached from the rest of the body. Professor Sestan is said to have described the result as mind-boggling. If it could be repeated with human brains, researchers would be able to use them to test out new treatments for neurological disorders. And of course, it's not just the scary factor, but it's also the ethical factor. Ethical concerns are being raised, even by Professor Sestan. Some of the concerns include whether such brains, revived, would have any consciousness, and if so, deserve special protection, or whether their technique could be or should be used by individuals to extend their lifespans. By transplanting their brains when their bodies wear out. Has anyone seen the show called Altered Carbon? Yeah. Putting brains in other bodies to maintain life? If researchers could create brain tissue in the laboratory that might appear to have conscious experiences or subjective phenomenal states, would that tissue deserve any of the protections routinely given to human or animal research subjects? This question might seem, you know, a little unnecessary, a little outlandish to some, but today's experimental models are far from having such capabilities. But various models are now being developed to better understand the human brain, including miniaturized, simplified versions of brain tissue grown in a dish from stem cells. The researchers say that ways of measuring consciousness, need to be developed and strict limits set for them to be able to continue their work with the public's support. And here's another consideration about that, you know, trying to look for ways to possibly plant brains into other people's bodies or other artificial bodies, artificial intelligence bodies. And one of the things that another professor, Professor Blakemore, says is that there's some uneasiness about the quest for immortality by those who are considering preserving their brains until surgery advances in order to place them in a new body. He talks about the overpopulation situation and says that our planet is already overpopulated. You need space for young people and new ideas, and the notion of desperately clinging on to any mechanism possible for human beings living forever, he himself finds unsavory.